in the outside group? Do you all want to?
Would someone like to take go ahead sharing what we talked about today?
And you have the easel there.
Yes.
As a visual aid.
No wind to give you
to
blow it around. No wind. To
no wind,
over.
Yes.
Yeah. So, much easier.
So, no wind.
Perhaps.
Yeah.
Kathy or Cable or Ryan, would you like to lead us in chatting about what we talked about?
Sure. Yeah, I can share. So we started to develop sort of a framework as well as timeline and agenda for what we want to do in anticipation of our next meeting in June. So Cable and I will start to be taking the lead on developing kind of a draft of the document that we're working on. So one, essentially explaining our rationale as to why we feel like this proposal of a roadmap for an ideal state is beneficial and why it's needed. And then two, starting to develop a sort of general straw man as to what that ideal state may look like. We're going to have that developed by about April 15th. We'll then share it out with our smaller group for their comments, review, but then our goal is to be able to present that to this larger group in advance or at the June meeting. And then we also talked a little bit about some of the team working on developing potential next steps after June. So the idea would be that this group would give their approval of this document or have feedback, we'd be able to incorporate that feedback into the document. Then next steps are to go out to the larger community to make sure that we really have a global perspective as opposed to just the perspective of people who are here in this room. So we talked about developing sort of a recommendation for those, for those next steps that we would again present at the June meeting of this group.
Did you talk at all about how the work that you're conceiving of connects with the conversation we had this morning, or do you see that as like separate at the moment? I'm just curious if that shaped how the conversation unfolded for you, for your group this afternoon. And if not, that's okay. I'm just curious.
So we had been kind of, we talked a lot in our group about sort of the diverse perspective idea, and that's what we sort of, we chatted a little bit about that yesterday in the conversation, sort of how we're going to engage that, and I think some of the conversations this morning sparked that back up again. I don't know if anyone else from the group. Yeah.
So I think one of the things we'll do in the draft is to list, straw person set of principles like social justice and equity, equitable access, and things that are the kind of guiding lights of the open access community or movement, field, whatever you want to call it. And that my hunch is that after reading Larry's paper and listening to him speak, that the next paradigm will be, and I think should be, based on a lot of those same principles. And so I think we can be a bit intentional as we're thinking about what are the core reasons to do open education. And as we're envisioning what ideal state, which we still don't like that phrase either, but that's the one we're using for right now, what ideal looks like, to think about not just what does ideal look like for education, but what does ideal look like for education writ large. And my hope would be that those would align. It's a bit of a tough situation to be in, right? Because what Larry's done so far is to call out that neoliberalism is the paradigm of the day, and it's not working well, and we need to move past it. But he's openly acknowledged that he doesn't have the answer yet for what the next paradigm ought be. And so therefore, it's impossible for us or any other project around the table to align with the next paradigm because it doesn't exist yet. So I think the best we can do is to recognize the failings of the problems of neoliberalism and not put those in our ideal state, if you will, which I don't think would be a problem because those aren't the values of the open-end community today.
Well said.
Anything else? Other questions or things to add? And about where you will be come the June meeting?
Two things I would note. One was the idea of not just OE, but the structures that are surrounding and part of this. And there was a note on in creating this ideal state, how are we also being really inclusive of those structures? And then also the idea of how are we in partnering with other people and getting other voice into the development of this ideal state, those people that this draft would be shared with later, and making sure that that's representative of a wider frame of what learning means and a wider frame outside of the specific OE ed community as an opportunity.
Did we talk about the timeline?
Landscape group?
Who wants to be our fearless leader? Track, give it a shot.
I'm going to sort of keep glancing back because we're on this piece of paper here. So we continued with the same idea around how do we connect with organizations and people that we haven't yet deeply engaged, and I was happy to see that that surfaced again and reflecting from the morning's talk is something that should be a priority for us to continue to do. So we, in this last hour, tried to get more concrete about the next step. So by June, we'd like to craft, estimate it's going to be about 3 pages, one where we get clear about what kinds of questions would we have for these organizations that we want to get to know and understand better. What do we want to learn from them? Are there clusters of organizations that we think we should be intentionally reaching out to? So these could be like groups that support education and training around diversity, equity, inclusion. It could be groups like that do work on climate change. It could be like political economists. So we want to kind of, we still need to do some work to figure out what that constellation of people and groups might be and build a rationale around why those would be, could be important, and then bring that back to the group in June for feedback. And then following from there, once we sort of hone that list, begin to identify conferences and places where these people come to meet and learn and make sure that we're represented and present there to listen and understand the work they want to do. So yeah, we'll have those one page, the document ready for feedback by June. And then in the 3 to 6 months after that, start to coordinate what it might look like to get out to these events. We may even be able to go so far as to like craft a toolkit of sorts for other we felt like this is work that's too big for just our little group of 3 or 5 people to take on, or even in our organization. So we try to think about like how do we spread this interest and practice of branching beyond those who we know today. So maybe there's a toolkit or some kind of resources that we can share through our networks, like at open education conferences, to inspire others and help them build capacity to do this work too. Then we brainstorm a little bit, like maybe we need resources to help with the creation of that, and what could Hewlett's role be in that.
And can we nominate groups that you might consider
that would
to reach
be
out to?
Wonderful, yes.
Oh, okay, great.
Very much welcome.
All right.
The idea was to have a Google Doc where we could start compiling those.
Yeah, so James, like very concretely, James is going to take a first pass, like getting the Google Docs up and running. We'll probably have a conference call with our subgroup to start to do some brainstorming. So if you would be able to join that call, maybe that would be a great time to be part of that really brainstorming.
Terrific, thank you.
Could revisit in June. Anything I missed? Questions?
All right. Peter, Hal, and Kurt, did you all get anywhere in your truncated group conversation?
It was short but intense. I could speak to part of it. Jamie, I think, and Kurt and I on the drive to San Francisco will be talking a bit more, and I don't know whether that counts. Sure. After 2 o'clock. But, you know, I don't know how you guys work. But is it past the deadline? Yeah, they work
as you write up the notes.
Exactly.
No, I'll be sitting.
Yeah, I'm driving. So
yeah, you're driving.
It's not about taking notes.
One thing, and this is, you know, yet another thing, spirited along by Hal's comments yesterday, is like, when I know that when I was first thinking about experiments with open licensing, I was looking at the corpus at MIT and what's being taught there in particular, and then what, you know, might be available in the courseware of some of our members and institutions that are represented by our members and by publishers that are represented also, and thinking of experimenting with content that comes from them. And there might be an opportunity instead to just, to put it boldly, like connect with the real world issues in a much more sort of direct and systematic way, where there is real demand for solutions different from, again, to use that example, like, you know, a 2-minute explanation of the Eichenbaum vector from Gil Strang in linear algebra at MIT, as magnetic a personality and teacher as he is, how great that would be to illustrate a Wikipedia article with a piece of content like that and freely license it. And then, but maybe there's an opportunity to like organize around, you know, climate change, inequality, income inequality, and actually look at who might need resources or might welcome them or might consider them to be abetting the struggle, I guess. So in essence, kind of demand-driven without necessarily knowing, I think it's the way you put it, without necessarily knowing what the demand is yet, but knowing that the world needs to address these issues. And I guess that that led into conversations around editathons that Wikipedia might do or might host or WikiEDU might host that we could work on together with young graduate students or younger faculty around issues that are related to biodiversity, for example, and the courses that get taught at MIT. If we did a Cambridge thing, a bunch of other institutions might join us, but also then joined by some of the groups that you might nominate in your working group around those issues, and turn an edit-a-thon, great as that word is, into a change-a-thon, where we would actually like figure out how to openly license the knowledge looking at what knowledge is needed and figuring out game plans for going up and down the food chain, whoever controls those licenses, but also policy, you know, reform and I don't know, like doing more. So that is a thing, I think.
Yeah.
What else? Publishers.
We'll await news from your car, your car conversation.
Yeah, if we can zoom in about at 3:15 or something. Hit traffic.
It may be distinct, but Hal and I also had a conversation about open assessments and how important that could be to some of our thinking about next generation contributions back into the commons. So, no specific next steps per se. Some of the work that Hal's been doing, try to pull back into our thinking about, for instance, OCW's next generation and beyond that.
Yeah. Great. Shall we close with a round of reflections and appreciations? Is that good? So I thought we might go around and share any closing thoughts that we're going to be taking away from the last couple days together, and also share an appreciation for either yourself, if you did something especially noteworthy, or a colleague in this group, since we all are going to have to continue to be working together. It's always nice to appreciate the contributions that our colleagues made in the meeting. So I can start just to help model a bit, and then we'll go to the left. Just to say, I thought the comments, I'm very excited about the way in which the conversations have really focused on how to continue to make this open movement in service to others, and especially the work that this group is doing, and thinking through who else to talk to. I'm reading a book about leadership called Act Like a Leader, Think Like a Leader, that raises the concept of outsight, that, you know, leaders of a movement or an organization, rather than having insight, as in self-reflective or about the movement itself, need to bring outside, as in understanding what is happening in the outside world that might affect the organization or the movement. And I think that's very much what you all are talking about. So shifting into a mode of leadership for the open movement that is focused on what everyone else is caring about and worrying about, and hopefully helping to bring that into the work that your colleagues are doing and executing on all the projects that you all are doing. So I'm excited about that. There's a lot to appreciate. I want to appreciate my colleagues who helped facilitate. It was, you guys are an intimidating group to facilitate with a lot of strong personalities. I thought they did a great job, so thank you.
I thought I'd start and like reflect a little bit about putting all together what I heard yesterday and then and this morning, and to like allay any potential concerns that Larry's not fully on board and backing the open education strategy. He's been a fantastic partner, and I'm really excited to be able to share with you very soon where we're headed with the strategy at Hewlett. And I thought I'm glad that we're also now thinking about bridging to the work that he's trying to accomplish in this new initiative. I think it's super exciting, and given the momentum we have in the field of education, it's a good jumping off point to bridging to the other fields of open and thinking about a much broader vision of what might be possible in the future. And then in terms of appreciation, I'm really grateful to the small group that I worked in, and in particular those of you who were joining us new and fresh and bringing your ideas and questions to shake it up today and yesterday, and get us to an even deeper place and some concrete steps moving forward. So thank you.
I just want to say thank you for this whole experience. This was my first meeting, and I know all of you have been already doing this work, so I joined new, and I felt so welcome and so part of it immediately. Even people held their car for me and were giving me hugs at the door, and I don't know if you know how truly open and kind and generous of spirit you are, but you are those people, and I feel so privileged to be part of this group. I'm also really grateful for the beautiful greenery, because I come from a frozen tundra, and I got to see a bunny today, and they're in this amazing tree, and so my spirit is renewed in so many ways, not just from the work, but from the people and the place. So thank you.
I feel good about where we are. I was a little worried after the Maryland meeting. We felt a little disjointed, but I feel like it's coming together and there's some really worthy work in front of us, and so I'm excited about that and excited to work on it, not just the project that I've joined, but I'm interested in participating in the other projects. Like this one over here is particularly interests me. As far as who to thank, I'm just grateful, honestly, to be invited to meetings like this with so many smart, amazing people. These are rare opportunities. They're precious to me. I'm always grateful when I get to join it. There are a lot of friends here, new and old friends, but it's also a chance where we all get to be pushed. And I certainly feel pushed in, you know, good debates, good pushback, which makes me better. And I really appreciate that. So thank you.
I want to second the topics about the Maryland meeting and moving forward. I think we're really made a step forward here, and that will lead to something that is worthwhile. But I most important for me is talking to you all here. I think that's it inspires me, gets me to think, and that's very valuable. And a lot of things are not even specifically about this topic, but because you're all here, that's that helps me. And I would like to thank Judith for hosting this this meeting.
I always love the opportunity to get out of the office and meet, and but wait, wasn't that? And spend time with smart people talking about topics that I'm passionate about. So that checked off the boxes for me. But I wasn't here yesterday because I was at our annual, whether we need to have it or not, offsite planning session for the Internet Archive. So the timing of this kind of thinking in the context of yesterday's kind of thinking is like super constructive. My takeaway from this will be to help inform thinking at the Internet Archive. Once again, the mission statement there is universal access to all knowledge, right? So it's fairly closely aligned. It's usually universal access to all open knowledge or something. I don't know. But I'll be working to try to figure out how the Internet Archive can be a greater service to the other aspects of the open world movement community forward.
Thank you. Excellent. Gosh, yeah. Echoing all the words of thanks, I feel extremely privileged to be here amongst old friends and new friends. Thanks to Angela, thanks to Peter and Kurt for inviting me and letting me be part of the fun. I'm tremendously excited to see how these discussions will push, as Cable said, to push us, but push the field of OER to better define itself, and to get out of a corner in which we're just talking to ourselves, mm-hmm. and get out and help others enact the change that we all believe in. And I'm very excited to think more deeply about how this community can play a really concrete role in the vision that Larry and Hewlett is thinking about.
James, you guys are not talking to yourselves anymore because you had an outside. Yeah. So, and I actually don't mean that language that way because I think you are very open and very welcoming. Thank you for letting me be here. So, however I can contribute, I don't know, I have much to learn from all of you, but really grateful for your work and everything that you do and all your passion, because I don't think I ever felt this passionate about this topic. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know enough about it. So after the first Boston meeting, I thought, oh boy, this is completely overwhelming and I just don't think this is gonna go anywhere. And then I missed the Maryland meeting. And so this one, I didn't know what to expect, but can I tell you, I feel great. And I think we can do great things together.
Great.
I wanna sound some notes of appreciation to two people who left earlier, to Tom and to Sanjay for believing in this initiative at the beginning, and to Hewlett and Angela in particular for making this meeting and all these things possible, and also to Kurt, whom I get to talk to every day and whom I never get tired of talking to about this stuff. And so it's going to be a productive car ride, I can assure you. Now, David's in the mix, and Al, you need a ride. That would be even better. So I just want to say, like, the next meeting, before I pass it on, we should think about, like, expressing notes of appreciation to people who actually we would hope to invite to that next meeting, because that could be a real big thing. We've had representatives of Wikipedia here, with Internet Archive now, and other universities, other community colleges, other educator groups, and other foundations and more. And I just wonder, like, public broadcasting has not been part of our connectivity. And I remember early on in the open movement, it sure was. And trying to break those licensing habits of those guys, that was, like, even more challenging than anything. But it would be great, like, GBH is right there in Boston. We could figure out, you know, some means of integrating them in the work that we do. And if there are other nominations for who should be there, Sanjay has already expressed
the hope that we'd organize this around a date he'll be in the office, and those dates in May and June are infrequent. One date that's come up is June 18th, but we can figure that out online later, because I know he's really keen on being part of it, and it doesn't hurt in terms of like a powerful person at a powerful institution to have him as engaged as he is in this work. It's really wonderful. He reports directly to the president. So yeah, like we should think about that the next meeting. And finally, thanks to the Redstone folks for driving us so effectively to get to places like we've gotten to today.
I'm also very grateful to be here and to have been included. It was my first meeting as well. I think something I'm really happy about is to hear people talking about open kind of as a tool and a means rather than the end. And So this was just a ton of context and framework around solving human problems and societal problems, and that we are, as a group, believe open is potentially a means to advance that further. So that's really energizing and exciting and kind of brings together a lot of the emotions that undoubtedly many of us have been feeling for several years and makes it feel really, really great. In terms of appreciation, I'm gonna give a shout out to whomever narrowed down our agenda, because originally I remember seeing 13 things we were going to address, and then we got the email that we were narrowing that down, and it seems like that was a good idea. So thank you for that.
I'll start by just reflecting for a moment on when we first conceived of this group and started to think about how it functioned, what its goals, objectives, who were the right people to bring. We didn't know exactly how it would pan out. And each time we've gotten together, there's been an interesting combination of refinement, but also, opening up in new directions that we hadn't conceived of before. That's I think the power of bringing such an amazing, diverse and smart group together is the way that all those ideas come in and keep mixing. That continues to happen, and I feel really appreciative of that energy just continuing to go. We're simultaneously narrowing on some of the work, the concreteness of certain deliverables, but also admirably and appropriately keeping ourselves so open to some of the big ends that we're trying to reach for. It makes this group feel just central to the work that I'm doing, and hopefully to all of you as well. I'll echo the appreciation. Having our Redstone folks here has helped tremendously. Thank you for joining us, and also a appreciation for our tech support people who helped us get situated in the room, trying out new technology. It was very appreciative.
I'm a rookie here too. This is my first meeting. I when I was first invited to this maybe 6 weeks ago, I don't think I anticipated that we'd be discussing things like alternatives to the neoliberal economic order and how we might dismantle it. But I found the meeting to be completely fascinating, and I'm not as conversant with a lot of the OER issues as everyone else there at the table, so I did find it somewhat intimidating. But I do want to highlight a couple of things. The incredibly expansive comments that Hal made during our session yesterday were just fantastic, and I really enjoyed how that really broadened the issues around licensing that we were discussing at the time. And then Peter's suggestions about how we might be able to incorporate publishing into this larger question of what are the kinds of resources that we do want to supply outside the, perhaps outside the norm of OER. Thank you so much for putting this meeting on. It was really terrific.
I think it was 18 years ago that I met Kathy here in this building right upstairs. I think it's safe to say that I'm now the oldest person in the room, having gone, I'm guessing that's probably true, having gone from being a young whippersnapper when we first met. And Kathy, if I remember right, the first contract or the first grant she offered me was, you know, UNESCO's just coined this new term for what you've been writing about called open educational resources, and we need a definition of it. And I think the first thing that we collaborated on was trying to consult with the field to come up with a definition of open educational resources. And to have seen it come all the way from where it was then to where it is now is the most heartening thing of my professional life. I want to thank everybody for the kindness with which that you've all extended to me in a difficult time. And I'm sorry, but it fills my heart, it really does, to see this work progressing and to see so many of you and the people that you're connected to engaged with it. I really do believe that we have within our common vision the answer to so much of what the world is crying out for now in terms of finding new ways to include and lift up people who are struggling through hardships that are not of their own creation. And it gives me great joy on a level that none of you could ever really, that I could never really communicate, to be able to be part of these efforts and to have an opportunity to know that these efforts will continue under your capable stewardship long after I'm here. I think it was Shakespeare who wrote that of all sad words of tongue and pen, the saddest are, it might have been. And it fills me with joy that I can't describe to know that the dreams that we had at the beginning of this movement still may be. So thank you all for your work and for your so kind reception of me here this week. I appreciate it deeply.
Yeah, I really have enjoyed being a part of this group. It was my first meeting to be able to attend. So to learn and be pushed in my thinking and to have my thought processes in and around OPEN evolve has been very, very rewarding, very, very fulfilling. I think in terms of appreciation, definitely the Redstone team for keeping us on track, especially in our small group, Maria did a great job. And MIT as well as Hewlett for allowing this event to happen. So just really appreciative of all the hard work that went into this, from the technology to the catering, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I'm not the oldest one in the room now, but close there. But as another old timer, my appreciation to Kathy, who maybe 18, I'm afraid to think it's really that long, maybe 17 years for me, invited me here to think about how the work that my organization was doing around the use of information for continuous improvement in education and information systems and knowledge management. And they were doing this new thing called OER, and she thought there might be some connection between those two things that we could bring together. And very much grateful for that. And today, you know, even hearing, you know, Larry talk about, you know, the information structures and all this, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've been studying this stuff for, you know, 25 years. And now what I was doing so many years ago, I'm seeing how it's even more relevant today. And that's part of what you were saying, Hal, too. I'm just so grateful as somebody who's been around this field from just about day one. You know, you do something a long time and you have ebbs and flows, and there's years when you're like, yay, this is working, and years when you're like, ugh, let's all just go home. And this is definitely not one of those years. But just seeing sort of this, there's a lot of new energy and new people brought in and different audiences. And I loved our group. I'm so grateful for the group that I was in for the last 2 days. We were really talking about who are those that we still need to bring in a completely different kind of way. I'm just grateful because that gives me, you know, I feel like I can do this another, you know, however 25 years, right, to actually see it move forward. So, yeah.
25 more.
25? All right, I'll take it.
Well, first of all, thank you to everyone. Thank you, Angela. Thank you to the Redstone people. It's been terrific to be here. As an outsider to this community, I'm very thankful to all of you, first of all, for just putting up with me. And perhaps most important, I would like to share just one brief thought. I've always given myself a goal of trying to never stop learning. And I walk away from the past 24 hours thinking that not only I've learned a lot, but as a consequence of everything I heard over the past 24 hours, I will have to learn a lot more. And so this is just opening up so many new ways to think for me. So it's extremely valuable. So thank you everyone for just contributing to my own goal of making sure that I'm never too comfortable with what I think I am. Thank you.
I so enjoy new voices around the table. So there's quite a few who are kind of participating in this conversation for the first time. I think it's what we always need to extend and grow, and it pushes our thinking. So I like your instigative questions that have gone on. I appreciate Hewlett and Redstone, who I've been able to work and advise with, you know, helping to support this and really creating, I think, a great experience here. The thing I'm struck about is we need more time to reflect and have these kind of conversations. I felt like we tried to do this, or at least Mike Smith and I tried to do this a fair amount at the beginning of launching the movement, because there was a lot of theory setting and conversations we needed to have and small group conversations. And this reminded me of it today. And I think, you know, I'm a doer, so I'm just as bad. You know, I put my head down and I make things happen. But to be able to have this opportunity for the past 24 hours to step back has been incredibly refreshing, and I think incredibly directional for what I see as a lot of the leaders in the movement. But I think we need to have more of this. So that's the thing that I'm quite struck by. And thank you all for being here.
Well, thank you for having me in. I appreciate the chance to be here and to meet, again, people I've known for some time and finally talk to people I've known of but not known well for any length of time. I think what struck me the two things that struck me the most, one was the long arc of time around these discussions. They go back decades, and if not longer, when we're talking about really serious values. And about the relationship of information quality and OER, and if one of the things the world is hungry, you know, maybe we're hungry for universal, free, curiosity-driven education, but there's also this other social need around vetting the facts that people all reference and the facts that are referenced in policy decisions that might change the world. So this issue of information quality as it relates to OER strikes me as something that would be interesting to explore. So thank you. And for people in Boston, I know Yvonne Ng sent me lots of mail and others back on the East Coast. Thanks.
I've so appreciated getting to meet all of you and getting to dive into this OER space. I appreciate this opportunity a lot. And I'm so excited by this idea of paradigm shifting and thinking about how do we bring climate change into this? How do we talk about income inequality? How do we bring in equity issues? This is what I always dreamed academia, what I always dreamed philanthropy could be. And it's so exciting seeing this at ground zero and seeing it happen. And also I'm really grateful for all those who enabled this space, enabled this learning, the caterers, and Yvonne with her wonderful tech support. So thank you.
And I really enjoyed getting to hear everyone thinking about all the ways to expand the OER community and the OER movement. It was exciting and inspiring to hear people thinking about the connections to build OER into something that can create so much more than just, you know, what a particular resource or what a particular, you know, item might be. And I also just want to share an appreciation for Peter and Kurt and all the work that they did to think about what this meeting should be and to get us here today. And with that, I also want to see if you two want to sort of close us out and if there's anything you want to say to send us off.
I would say one thing, which is as we're reflecting on the longevity of our time in these conversations, I was brought into it meeting Mike Smith somewhere in Southern California. We met at a coffee shop on the campus, I think, I can't remember which, Santa Cruz, we sat and had a coffee and a bagel, and I ordered a bagel and I brought it back to the table, and I had never met him before. We were introduced by Don Waters and at the Mellon Foundation. And of course it's a story. And so I sat down and Mike said, what are you eating? And I said, it's a poppy seed bagel toasted, you know, with some cream cheese on it. He goes, I can't eat those anymore because I guess he had served in the Department of Education and been blood tested periodically, and poppy seed bagels were showing up as false positives, as like he was a morphine or a heroin addict or something. And I reflect on that periodically for a whole lot of different reasons, including the crisis that we're having today and stuff like that. But also, it was just such an unexpected line, and I'm like frozen. I don't know whether to keep eating my bagel or not. I'm like, what is this? And but it would do for us, I think, maybe next time to serve up some poppy seed bagels in tribute to Mike and Kathy, who led this movement and led MIT's entry into it. Maybe they'll work a little bit if we get the right kind of poppy seed bagels.
California.
California.
Go to the corner store.
Yeah. Okay. So,
in the Obama administration, Mike legalized the consumption of poppy seed bagels. We were no longer tested.
Is that right?
Yeah. So we were all. he was able to eliminate those tests for political appointees.
So to those doubters who think we haven't accomplished it.
Yes.
What an inspiring story to
I can't top that.
Is there, just before we close, anyone on the phone? I'm sorry, I can't see.
There's Ross and Yvonne, Ross?
Sure, I just want to say, hey everybody, thank you so much. I feel, I'm so appreciative that everyone has become invested in this work. Because I feel that our charge is just so important, and it just has the opportunity to really affect so many people globally that it's really heartening to hear people's passion for the delivery that we're going to be bringing together. So thank you so much. And if the catering wasn't that good, it's not my fault. No, I'm just kidding.
It's
good.
It's
delicious.
Whew, good.
I just want to say, it's Ross here, that the sound quality has been absolutely superb, and it's very impressive. This is the best kind of teleconferencing I've ever done. So big thanks to the technical people.
Good. All right, thanks, I think Ross. We've accomplished it. So I know some of you will be coming back in June, and I look forward to hearing about all the progress you make in the intervening weeks.
Thank you. And we expect to be in Boston.
Yeah, it's going to be in Cambridge, I think, right?
That's the plan.
Yeah.
It's not graduation time.
Well, not June.
Yeah, not on, that's not graduation weekend.
No, it's not. That's why we were.
Are people interested to talk for just a second about the prospective dates?
Yeah,
let's do it. So there's three dates that have been proposed based on Sanjay's schedule. Those are June 18th, June 29th, and June 30th.
June 18th?
18th, 29th, and 30th. Wow. I mean, these are kind of 24 hours split across 2 days. Seems like a pretty good setting. You know? Allows for the travel and us to break and reset in the middle of it. But around those two blocks of time, that's kind of where we're starting from for thinking about dates.
30. I'm wondering if 30 you're going to run into 4th of July.
Yeah, that's the tricky part about those end dates.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. A lot of people will be on vacation. The 18th would work better.
Yeah.
Push in that direction if we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's good feedback. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe just put a loose hold around the 18th.
Yeah.
Follow up with more details. Sound good? Thanks. Okay.
All right, well, wishing everybody good travels home. Back.
Right on.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Is anybody traveling to the SFO airport?
Okay, take care, everybody. Bye.